Welcome to Eclectic, the podcast about anything and everything youth ministry, you name it. I'm Rob Brower.
I'm Scott Davis.
Hey, Scotty, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing, Rob?
I am doing pretty good. It's good to be in a different location.
It is.
We are back down here at your church.
Yes.
And our B studio.
Yes, Studio B.
Studio B, Eclectic Studio B. And it's a good departure.
Yeah. It was nice to wake up this morning knowing that we're podcasting and I didn't have to get up and drive a while.
Yeah. It was kind of the opposite for me. It was kind of nice knowing that I could get up and get in the car and have some alone time.
Yeah, the drive is nice. It's a nice kind of mental preparation time. And
yeah, I'll tell you what was not nice. What? Is I stopped at the Chevron station because I didn't have breakfast. And I got a couple of what they call taquitos, but they're really just gut bombs.
Yes.
And I'm paying for it.
It's gas station food, after all.
It's why they call it a gas station, because whatever you eat there is going to give you gas, buddy.
Yes.
Let me tell you about it. First, want me to literally tell you about it?
No,
okay.
Don't.
Sorry.
So, but you are fully loaded and ready to go.
That's one way of putting it. I grabbed an energy drink too, so
there you go.
Nice sugar-free rock star, and I see you've got your energy drink over there, also sugar-free.
I've got my sugar-free Monster.
With the Monster, yeah.
It's ultraviolet. I like the grape.
Are we gonna have to bleep out the product names, in the podcast, so we don't have to pay them royalties or something?
Nah. It's free advertising for them.
I'm drinking a sugar-free. Beep. Yeah, I'd be like, what is he drinking? I have no idea. Coffee? Is he drinking? What's he drinking?
What is it? It's sugar free.
It's sugar free Kool-Aid? I don't know.
Oh, that stuff's nasty.
I take that back. Well, okay, if you take regular Kool-Aid powder and forget to add the sugar, it's
now
nasty.
That's nasty, yes.
So I was in college, and we were all gathered at a friend whose family had a house on the lake. And actually, it was on the ocean out in Gig Harbor, and invited us all down this spring break, and we're boating and stuff, and she goes to make us some Kool-Aid, and we're like, oh, yes, I'm parched. I need some Kool-Aid. And we all did the same thing. We kind of started taking a giant gulp, and it was like, what? And you don't want to be rude, spit it out all over the floor.
Right.
She's like, what's wrong? And you swallow it. And how much sugar did you put in? Oh, you need to add sugar? You're just like,
Take some time to evaluate what is wrong with this. What needs to change about this?
What's wrong with my friend? Speaking of evaluating, nice segue there, Scotty. Way to reel it back in.
Thank you.
It's that time. It's the end of summer.
Yes.
And fall is here, and it's a good time. I don't know about everybody's ministry, but I know that our ministry calendar runs fall to fall.
Yeah.
And we do a fall kickoff, we go all the way through, and the summer is the end of our ministry year.
Right.
And so going into the fall, it's a good time, if you haven't already done so, to evaluate your last year's ministry and start planning ahead. And we already did a podcast on,
on
calendaring out.
Yeah.
But I think this kind of goes hand in hand with that one.
Yeah.
Looking back,
you
look forward.
I don't recall exactly what we talked about in that podcast, but I'm sure we hit a little bit of.
Should we hit pause and go back and listen to it and then come back?
Yes.
Hey, man, that was a good podcast.
Wow.
That was
good
stuff.
Brilliant.
If you haven't listened to it, go
that
back
and
listen to it.
I love your point when you said that thing about the thing.
Yes,
that
and then you countered with the thought about, that thing with the, oh, man, that was good stuff. Good stuff.
Wow.
Pat ourselves on the back here a little bit. You can actually reach your back.
I
can't quite. I'm just a little. My arms are too short. I'm like a Tyrannosaurus. Oh, thank you. I'm like a T-Rex.
I got you on the back.
Big head, tiny arms. So evaluating things like the podcast and why do they keep letting us talk?
Yes.
When it comes to evaluating your ministry, Scott, like where do you start? How do you
move on? Summertime is that period, that season where I do a lot of evaluating. I kind of evaluate all through the year,
mm-hmm.
especially as I'm fine tuning the calendar, but I tend to try and plan 12 months out in advance.
Yeah.
With major events, and it tends to be a lot of those things that are traditions and things like that. And, but this time of year especially, right now, while we're recording it, our summertime has just ended, and we take several weeks off before really launching in the fall. That's mm-hmm. not everybody does that. Some people take the whole summer off, and some people take a some people don't get any time off. They just keep going. But our like main youth Bible study things, we take a few weeks off.
You can take time off?
Yeah, it gives, well.
Nobody told me that.
I don't take time. I don't take days off. It's just a shift in where my energy goes. But instead of having a regular Bible study, it gives my adult leaders a few weeks of a break and a breather, and it also gives me time to really fine tune things that we're leading into. And so that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And so I ask a lot of questions about looking ahead and even the things that have been very successful. This last summer, we didn't do something that has been a tradition,
mm-hmm.
and it was a difficult move to make, but I kind of felt like it had lived its life cycle. It had run its course, and it was time to let it go and find something different, something new, something fresh. So I ask, I just kind of evaluate the history of some things and look at the context.
So what's kind of the first question that you kind of ask as you're going into this evaluation process?
Well, I look at each event and look at, what is our purpose for doing this?
Uh-huh.
What's some of the historical context? Did I start this in my tenure here? And if so, why did I start it? What were some of the purposes behind it? And is it fulfilling that purpose, or have things shifted? Like with our group, things have dramatically changed in the 6 years I've been here.
Yeah.
And that's been for the good. And so some of the things that I started earlier on to create some momentum with something or to create an atmosphere or whatever, aren't quite as critical because we've achieved those goals. So I'll look at that context. If it's something that was started before I was here, before my time, I'll look at what were some of the reasons this was started. I'll ask around to some people who were around for a while. Why, what was the purpose behind it?
Yeah.
What was there a heyday back in the day that this was like the thing, and now it's just kind of struggling, not really. I try to look at context of why it was started, when it was started, what was the original purpose, and is it still fulfilling that purpose? Has the purpose changed? Is it just kind of taking up space now?
Yeah.
Do we need to, because sometimes it's okay to end something that is successful and going well, just because it's time to have something different.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great question to ask. I would add that, in addition to the individual programs, it's a good time to take a look at your overall, why are we doing this? Your mission statement, if you will.
Yeah.
And especially if you are inheriting a ministry. Now, 5 years ago when I came here, youth ministry here looked very different. And my goal wasn't to come in here and make a bunch of changes, but it was to evaluate, what's working, what's not working. And part of that was the vision. Is the vision clear? Does everybody on the volunteer staff understand the vision? We had a mission statement, and I went to each of the adult leaders, and I said, hey, what's our mission statement? And they said, it's something about, and they could probably get 3 out of the 180 words right. And I said, don't feel bad. I don't have it memorized. The thing's a paragraph and a half with some bullet points and then a closing sentence, and it's very well written. It was a little wordy, but nobody knew it. And so I spent the next year really kind of reevaluating all of our programs and our ministry and asking the question, why are we doing this? What is our purpose?
Right.
And it came down to kind of two things. And so this became our mission statement, to know Christ and to make Christ known as we help teens to know Christ and to make Christ known. And the reason for that is I realized that as leaders, we need to be leading the charge. We shouldn't be asking teens to, read the Bible every day if we're not reading the Bible every day. You need to be in prayer constantly if we're not praying constantly.
Yeah, the idea is that you will never teach beyond where you're at. You'll never be able to
Teach
beyond where you're willing to go.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's what I did, and that's a great question to ask about anything.
We've got a mission statement kind of, purpose statement kind of stuff with some primary statements and some supportive elements that I go by as well. Our thing is we exist to influence and equip students toward a deeper relationship with Christ,
mm-hmm.
and a lifetime of involvement in the church. And then I have a section where we accomplish these things by seeking to be dot, 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 and a list of a handful of things.
Yeah.
We're intensely relational, intentionally incarnational, farsighted by nature, not just looking to the now, but what they're going to become.
Mm-hmm.
And we're purposefully playful. Then we have a, we believe every student has three key areas of need, that their need to belong, to believe, to become, and that our passion is to help students find answers to those
yeah.
things. And then we look at critical milestones in achieving those
yeah.
goals. What are some of the wins that that can happen in day-to-day ministry that help support those
yeah.
Those elements?
So this is beyond just your mission statement. This is your ministry plan.
Yeah.
And so so that's another good thing to evaluate altogether, your ministry plan. Not only why are you doing what you're doing, but how you're doing it.
Right.
And so that leads kind
if
of
everything
to,
gets
yeah.
measured up against all of those things, even
exactly.
down to the fine-tuned pieces of
yeah.
of this kind of fits in the general thing, but it doesn't fit some of where we're really putting our energy.
Yeah, and as you're evaluating your ministry year, that's the other area, the second area that I would say you need to ask yourself first, you know, why are we doing this? Ministry as a whole, why are we doing ministry? Is youth ministry still relevant at our church and for our needs? Does it serve our needs?
Right.
If you've got one kid, do you pour resources into a full-time youth pastor to pour into that one kid? I mean,
right.
And there are
yeah.
some churches that find themselves in that position, you know? And then the next thing you need to do is, you know, ask yourself, is what we are doing effective?
Yeah.
And so, like you said, you've got in your ministry plan, these are the key areas that we're going to raise students up in. So then the question is, do you have a way of measuring that? Is it quantifiable?
Right.
If you say every kid should feel good about themselves, well, how do you measure that? On a scale of 1 to 10, Johnny, how good do you feel about yourself? 5. Well, you put 4 last time, so we've met our ministry objective, you know? Or is it quantifiable, like, you know, memorization? Like, that's something you can measure, you know?
Right.
Is it attendance and involvement? Is it butts in seats?
Right.
Somebody once said, you know, what gets measured is what gets done.
Right.
And so you have to have metrics. The thing that I would caution against is without being able to quantify certain things, like spiritual growth is hard to really put a finite number on. And it's going to be different for each kid. One kid may have grown immensely, but not necessarily feel like they have. But you see a difference in their life. You see the fruit. And how do you measure that fruit?
Yeah.
And so what happens is the default tends to be people fall back to how many kids show up on a given night.
Right.
And don't let that be the only indicator of success.
Right. Yeah, it's a little bit of a tricky game on knowing exactly how to evaluate and what to evaluate and
yeah.
what to look at and what really doesn't matter in evaluating it. You know, metrics are there for a purpose, but metrics can also lead us down some rabbit trails
yeah.
that become important, but they don't really, they become urgent to us, but they don't ultimately matter to the goal.
Yeah.
And they don't speak of what's really happening sometimes. So,
yeah. I think one way to get away from the hard metric is by asking your staff, all your volunteers, anybody that's been involved in youth ministry over the year to do surveys, whether it's quarterly or whatever, they can be anonymous, but just asking that question, like, what's an area of improvement for the ministry? And then as a
right.
leader asking, what's an area of improvement for myself?
Right.
How can I get better? And you might get some feedback that you didn't realize, you know, I asked that question one time and basically found out that everybody felt that I wasn't connecting with the leaders as much as I was with the kids. And I was like, oh man, you know, I'm so sorry. I was purposely focusing on the kids thinking when these leaders want to connect with me, we're adults. And so,
right.
you know, the old phone call or text, hey man, you want to hang out, bro?
Yeah.
But that wasn't happening. And what they were used to and what they were expecting was for me to reach out to them and say, hey, come over to dinner Friday night. Have you and the family come over, you know, et cetera. But I was new and overwhelmed and, you know, I was just basically trying to get ministry stuff in place and didn't realize that I wasn't meeting expectations because I didn't know that the expectations were there.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes it's just a matter of communicating the why behind, you know, because sometimes we'll do things intentionally with a reason behind it and somebody doesn't understand the reason. And so they think we're just not doing well or following through or yeah. missing a piece. And so like what I have a tendency to do is I tend to focus a lot of energy on helping the kids connect with the other leaders and giving that yeah. opportunity and not always having to be the center of conversations.
Exactly.
I don't involve myself. So, you know, we talked about, you know, recently when we talked about Marco Stryker's book
yeah.
about Volunteer Youth Workers Guide to Leading Small Groups. We talked
yeah.
about how we have a small group element of dialogue that's
mm-hmm.
within our Bible study programming, but it's not like a true small group program
yeah.
thing. Well, within those small groups, when they break off for dialogue over the lesson, I intentionally don't involve myself in those.
Yeah.
Those are times where my leaders now have the opportunity to really connect with the kids. And if I jump in, things tend to default toward me. But it's
yeah.
important to me for my leaders to develop really strong, good long-term relationships with these kids, because I don't know when God's going to call me off somewhere else.
Yeah.
Not that I'm always planning on leaving. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm 100% where I'm at. But I don't know what might happen.
Yeah.
And these kids need, the ministry needs to be built around the body of people, not
yeah.
just my position.
Well, and as a leader, you need to let your other leaders lead.
Yeah.
And that's what I do, the same thing. I tend to, after I get done delivering the message, if I'm the one delivering the message, I tend to dismiss everybody to their groups. And I just kind of walk around and kind of poke my head into the different groups, not eavesdropping necessarily, but just to see how the general feel is, you know. And I've noticed that when I do pipe in, the leader has a tendency to kind of go, well, okay, now am I deferring to you? Am I just handing the mantle to you? I'm like, no, it's still your group. Kid asked a question, I heard your answer, and I just wanted to throw in my two cents as well,
right,
you know.
Right.
And another thing that happened to me, and I wasn't aware of this, is with my martial arts background, respect is a big thing. And
right.
one of the ways that we show respect is by calling people by their last name. So rather than call you Scott, if you were a student, I would call you Mr. Davis. And so there are several times from, you know, the stage where I'll ask a question and a student will raise their hand and they'll say, Mr. Davis, yes. And the kid will answer.
Yeah.
And I had a student, I'm not going to name her by name, but I heard from my senior pastor. He comes to me and goes, hey, this family over here, what's their daughter's name? I was like, you mean, yeah. So you do know her name? I'm like, yeah, of course I do. She's been in my ministry for a year. Of course I know her name. Well, she thinks you don't. Why is that? Because you keep calling her Miss and then by her last name.
Oh, man.
I'm like, oh, no, that's a sign of respect. And so that in my world, that's what I'm used to.
Right.
Calling, you know, Miss Smith, Miss Johnson, Miss Davis. Calling people by their last name is a sign of respect, you know. And we find that with the younger students and the teenagers in the martial arts program, by calling them by their last name, It's kind of like the military does, right? You know, it's not just an identifier, but there's something attached to the last name Davis,
right?
And so when you say, hey, this is what the Davis family values, or I tell my kids, this is what it means to be a Brower. We don't lie. That's part of being
right.
a Brower. And it's not just because God said don't lie. That's just who we are. And so there's something attached to that, right? And so it's kind of, I'm thinking intergenerationally, trying to get these kids to think about, hey, it's not just about me, it's bigger than me. I represent my family. But that was lost in translation. And
yeah.
so what she got out of it was, he doesn't know my name. That's why he keeps calling me by my last name. And so that's one thing that I figured, okay, I can do better is explaining why I do
right.
certain things.
Right.
And so I began prefacing stuff
yeah.
as I explain things, you know.
Yeah, with my situation, I can easily come across like I don't want to be involved with the kids when
yeah.
the reality is. So I just occasionally talk about, you know, hey, this is your time to, now we're going to split into groups, and this is your time to really connect with these leaders
yeah.
and leaders to, you know, and try and implant some of those purposes into it. You know, plus my sitting out and not being involved in groups allows me to kind of listen in a little bit to each of the groups and kind of
yeah.
hear where some of the dialogue's going, hear what some of the things they're
yeah.
talking about and struggling with, where they're taking it. And,
yeah.
yeah.
And this leads us into our kind of final evaluation question is, as I was doing this and I was going around, we had what they were, when I first got here, they were calling small groups. And so we would start our Wednesday night off with games and then a prize giveaway, a message, and then small groups.
Right.
And so it was broken down by grade, and each grade went to a certain leader. And I went around and I was listening, and it wasn't really a small group. And so, unfortunately, I had to make a call to go ahead and shut down small groups. And it was a heartbreaker. There were some leaders that were very upset, lost a leader over it, you know. And but the question that you have to ask yourself is, you know, what do we need to let go of?
Right.
You know, and there are some great things sometimes that you're doing that you have to let go of. I was at a conference one time, listened to Craig Rochelle talk about this. And he said that their church got to a point where there were so many ministries, and not that any of the ministries in and of themselves were bad, but, you know, they had men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry, teen ministry, choir ministry, muffin ministry, car parking ministry, toilet scrubbing ministry, like a billion different ministries. And no clear director of the ministry. And they, and when they go to ask themselves, why are we doing this? The question kept coming up. I don't know. Why? Why did this ministry get started? I don't know. But it's just going on. So what they had to do is, he said they made a decision to be very strategic and cut out all but five ministries. So their church became about five things. Sunday morning, men's, women's, children, and youth. Those were the five ministries that they ran, no more, no less. And he said after about 5 years, they finally gave themselves permission to start adding in strategic ministries.
Yeah.
And he said he had CR meeting there, and when they told CR, hey, we're closing down this ministry, people were outraged. You're saying that there's no value in Celebrate Recovery? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is we want to do these five things excellently, and these five we've identified as the core of our church, the whole reason we're here. And if we can't do these five things excellently, then we don't have the resources to pour into other ministries. So once they got all five of those up to a certain level, they said, okay, now we can start to add other ministries.
Right.
And as you know, that church has grown hugely. They got the YouVersion app and all that, you know.
Right.
So it's a tough question to ask, but you got to be asking.
It is. And there's a story that I, you know, of a church that I read about on the internet, and so it must be true.
Obviously, if it was in black and white on the screen.
I mean, you know, so I don't know if this was just a story that was developed by somebody around this particular song, or if there, you know, how much truth to it there was to it. I believe it to be true, but so if somebody out there knows it to not be true, you know, forgive me. There was a church that the worship wars had become so bad in their church that the pastor or leadership team or somebody decided we are not going to basically cut out music.
Wow.
Cut music out of their worship, out of their Sunday morning worship time, out of, you know, all of that. And so there was no music. I don't know how long they went without it, but they went without it long enough that when they finally brought it back in, finally decided to begin to bring music back in, it inspired the writing of the song, Matt Redman's song, Heart of Worship. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, and I can't remember all the words, but anyway, but that, you know, I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
Yeah.
It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. It's all about you. And so I don't know if that story is true about that song, but
whether it is or not,
it at least brings out that idea that, I mean, that song speaks to that idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes things that are beautiful and can be powerful and meaningful have to go away before they can be really brought back and truly understood for what they need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. The bottom line is this. You only have so many resources, financial resources, your time, your mental state even, right? You know, and I've kind of taught this, that we have these three gas tanks. We have an emotional gas tank, a spiritual gas tank, and a physical gas tank. And the rule of thumb is, if any one of those runs empty, the other two can carry you for a period. But if any two of those are running dry, the third one's going to deplete instantly.
Yeah.
And I found that to be so true in my life. You know, there are times when maybe my spiritual tank is on E, and I'm like, God, I need to fill up. But physically, I'm doing good. And emotionally, I'm good. And so that'll carry me through for a while until all of a sudden I get this new revelation from God. I'm like, that's the answer I've been seeking, Lord. Man, thank you for speaking to me. You know?
Right.
And then there are other times where, like, I'm sick. I got the flu. And I feel just worn out. but emotionally I'm healthy and spiritually I'm healthy. And so that carries me through, you know. Yeah. I can get up out of bed and go, even though I'm sick, I'm going to go to work because, man, I've got some ministry to do and I'm excited about it.
But also throws the warning out that, okay, you gotta take care of this area.
Yes.
Because you're only going to get carried through that for so long.
Yes. So we got to be good stewards.
Yeah.
And so taking a look at what we're doing, asking why are we doing it? Are we doing it as best as we possibly can? Is there room for improvement? And then you know, what fat can we trim?
Yeah.
You know,
but there's some things that, so like in youth ministry, that there's that notorious tagline in our job descriptions, other duties as required.
Other
so
duties as required.
One of the things you have to look at is, what are some of the non-youth ministry things that I have found put on my plate over the past year, or that I've been doing for the last several years or whatever. And I have to, you know, while, I, you know, my ministry plan may not, they may not be a part of my ministry plan, I have to look at, like with the youth department specifically, I have to look at what is that taking away from what I'm hired to do here. And sometimes it means I've got to go have a confrontational talk about this has to change.
Yeah.
Or I have to look at what's a way that I can make this a win for the youth department. Is there a service element that the teens can get involved in or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't like the teens being used as a workforce in the church, so I guard that very protectively. But if there's a way to create something that becomes a win in serving and giving and that kind of thing. So like years ago I started a service called The Longest Night.
Yeah.
It was another church I was at, and a kid who had grown up through the youth group and he graduated and he was my intern. On Halloween, he was out with some buddies and he fell from a train trestle 90 feet and he died. And the church was just kind of just in a really difficult, bad place.
Well, I can imagine.
And going into the holidays was really tough. And I just felt like, God, we need something. We need something. And God put on my heart this service. And it was the longest night. Because sometimes the holidays are really great for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who've experienced loss. And the loss of loved ones at the holidays they come to the forefront, those difficult feelings of I'm going through yet another holiday season without this loved one. And so it can be like walking through a long, dark night. And so on the winter solstice, the longest night of the year, we do, and I brought it with me here, we do a longest night service, which is about light and darkness. It's not a panacea. It's not a fix-all for all of the feelings. Like you go through this and you're going to be healed from it all. It's not the way it works. It's just a reminder that there is hope in darkness, that there is light in darkness, and an encouragement through the holidays.
Yeah.
And so it's something I'm passionate about. It's not youth related.
Yeah.
Is there a way that I can utilize the youth in that as a way to bring hope and light to other people? Or when I do our Good Friday service, is there a way I can bring the teens involved in that? Not as a workforce, but as an opportunity to minister to other people. And so there's creative ways to look at some of those things. And so, but some things just have to be let go.
Yeah, and with that, with both of those, and knowing you, I know that if it got to a point where, hey, you know, the reason I started this is very personal, it's very close, it's dear to my heart, but it's not serving the need that it once served, and so I know you'd be willing to let it go. And so holding on to these ministry things loosely in our hand so that we're serving the Lord, not serving the ministry, it's really key. And along with the evaluation comes just this thought of being brutally honest with yourself and giving permission to your leaders to be brutally honest with you. And if you have to do that, like we said earlier, through anonymous feedback, so be it. But if you ask the Lord to reveal to you the areas in your ministry that you need to improve, and he'll put that on your heart. God's faithful
and,
that way.
You know, and if you can put yourself in a place where you don't take feedback personally, we look at it as an opportunity for either personal growth to like grow in that area, or maybe what you need to do, maybe it's a sign to say, hey, you can fix this by bringing somebody in who's good with this piece.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be you that carries this.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something you're really great at and would take a while to develop some skill there. Maybe you should bring somebody in to cover that. Like if you're not a detail person, find somebody to come in and do the details.
Yeah.
For something.
Yeah. That's all good stuff. Well, if you have any suggestions, or if any of this has been particularly helpful to you, we'd love to hear from you. Oftentimes, we speak into dead space, and we don't hear back, and we kind of go, well, was that helpful or was that not? I tell you, whenever we do get feedback, we really appreciate it. Yeah. We will
even your stories of this is I've gone through something similar.
Exactly.
Or, I didn't quite connect with that, but it reminded me of this.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear those things.
We'd even love to hear, hey, you know, you guys have talked about all this great stuff, but what about this? You haven't talked about this. We don't know what we don't know. So we invite you to just connect with us. Let us know you're listening. Let us know how we can get better at what we do. And so if you'd like to reach out to us, you can find us on our website. That's eclectic.com, E-K-K-L-E-C-T-I-C. You can email us, podcast@eclectic.com. Once again, E-K-K-L-E-C-T-I-C. Or on Twitter, @eclectic. On iTunes, you subscribe to us. You can like us there. And also on Facebook, we are at facebook.com/IamEclectic. Thanks for listening. I'm Ron.
I'm Scott.
Stay eclectic.